The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, ve'amen. Daf Nun Het. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Marat Zikenati Yafab Sarah. There, Rabbi Abraham ben Esther. Wachashibtini Hem. Begin Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Zayin Amud Bet. And we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. 9 lines. Nafla legina. Let's go back to the case in the Mishnah. What happened? Animal fell into a garden. Ones. Fell off the roof. It fell into the garden. Venehenit. Meshalemet ma shenehenit. Okay, so the payment, gotta pay. So it pays what it benefited. The hana'a that it had. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah, just so you remind yourselves. The Mishnah on Daf Nun He, that was talking about over here, Nafla Ligina, okay, fell into the Gina, into the garden, that she said, be honest, that was honest, Migag Ba'ala Samukh Liginat Havero. Okay, it fell, Mashinenit, so Mashinenit we always understood, not according to what it damaged. Mashinenit, let's say, it ate, so mashinini would mean you have to feed it anyway. So the difference of what you would have to feed it and what it really ate. Let's say you would feed it inferior stuff and it ate more stuff, so you pay that type of damage. And the Gemara is going to explain now. Amar Rav. Oh, Rav says, no. Benihbeta. It's talking about the Hana'a. It landed on the field, Habata, but the cushion of the field saved them. So therefore, but he damaged the, he smashed the fruit in the interim. So therefore you have to pay much, you don't pay the actual damages for the fruit, but we make another calculation, which I will explain, where it's Hana'a, because he did have Hana'a over here. Hana'a was the cushion. But the cushion cost the owner of the field money, because it smashed his tomatoes. Aval, achla. But let's say the animal went into the field and ate. Do you pay nothing? Wow. Now that's very strange. Animal fell into somebody else's field, ate. No payment? What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, Lema Rav letame. This could be Rav according to his reason that we know. Damar Rav, Haya la shelo tochal. What's that case over there? Haya la shelo tochal. We had that case over there. That's, let's say, I brought my fruit into your field. I didn't get permission. I just brought my fruit into your field, okay? Now, your animal slipped on my fruit. I got to pay because I had no permission to bring my fruit over there. However, Rav said, if your animal ate my fruit and died as a result, I could come along and say, it shouldn't have eaten. It's one thing if it slipped on it, but that's your fault. It shouldn't have eaten. That's Rav Shita. Haya lo shelo tochal. So similarly, they want to apply the logic over here. What happened? My animal fell into the field, right? So if it got benefit from the cushion when it landed, but it smashed fruit, you got to pay. But if my animal ate, so then I could come along and say, what do you want? It shouldn't have eaten, I'm sorry. Now, obviously this is not analogous. But she says over here, Amar Bala Bema Bididata Anusai, Shiren the Flow, Bachilata Yalo Shiloh Tochal, Umani Yachol La'asot. When just like, let's make this the analogy, just like when I put my fruit in to your field, I could tell you, your animal shouldn't have ate, I could tell myself, when my animal falls into the field, and then you tell me, hey, your animal ate my fruit. I could say, it shouldn't have eaten. So the Gemara says, Hachi Ashta? Is that analogous? What are you talking about? Why? The Gemara says, Hachi Ashta, which means is it similar? That's in a case over there where the animal of the Bala Bayit got damaged. So the owner of the fruit can come along and say, the owner of the fruit could say, I'm not paying you. Right? That's where the fruit damaged. However, but where your animal goes down and damages by eating somebody else's fruit. That's not the case. The case is talking about, I put my fruit in somebody else's field, your animal ate it. I could come along and say, listen, I'm not paying you because your animal shouldn't have eaten. Okay, that's an avshita. Hayalo shelo tochal. However, in this case over here, my animal did the damaging. My animal did the damaging. My animal fell into your field, ate your fruit. And what am I telling you? I'm not paying you. My animal shouldn't have eaten. What are you talking about? Control your animal. You don't have that claim when your animal did the damaging. So it comes again and says, you're right. So then what's the difference between the cushion, where Rav said, you pay, and if you ate, you don't pay. So say, Ela, lo mebaya kamar. It's not so. Lo mebaya achla de mishalemet mashinenit. Of course, if it ate, you have to pay. The Rav wasn't saying that. But die. But I would have thought that maybe when the hana'ah is because it landed on the guy's fruit and the animal had a cushion, and therefore I would have thought maybe he doesn't have to pay. Why? Let's talk about a case of mavriyah hari. You know what mavriyah hari means? Let's say there's a lion coming, literally, a lion coming to attack somebody's property. I have an obligation to try to save my friend's property. So what do? I go, mitzvah, and I go chase the lion away.
Nice.
Okay, very good guy. I did it. Mavriya harim, menichseh, havero. Now, in this case over here, I would have thought, listen, this poor guy has an animal on the roof. The poor animal, ones, fell. I got to do everything in my capability to try to protect my friend's property. My field is like a lion, right? Because if this animal falls on the field, it's gonna die. So therefore, my fruit are like a cushion. So therefore, I might have thought that I can't ask for payment because really, my obligation is to save the guy's animal. So it's like mavriyah ari, just like I would have an obligation, mitzvah, to chase a lion away, to protect the guy's property, assets. Similarly over here. Yeah, what do you want? You damaged my field. Yeah, well, you had to do that. You have an obligation to do everything you can to protect my thing. So, skill him as well. Thank you very much. You protected my property via your fruit. So, the Gemara says, oh. So, I would have thought that. Kamash ma'alan, that even habata, and you damage, you got to pay. Vaday achila. Achila is not vaday, you get eight. Of course you have to pay. There's no simarat, you have to pay. Not only achila, but even habata. You would have thought it's considered like mavriyah hari. Come on, so it's not. So the Gemara says, wait, maybe it is. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. Maybe it is mavriyah hari menechseh havero midatohu. I love midatoh. So give me like the first answer. First answer is, in a regular case of mavriyah hari, what am I doing? I know what I'm doing. Midato. I see the guy's assets getting damaged, so I'm putting myself in the situation to save the guy's property. I'm chasing the lion away. In this case over here, v'chi, I knew about it. And then it wasn't midato. All of a sudden, I see an animal landed in my field, smashed my fruits. Now you want to come and tell me that I don't have to, that I don't get compensated? Mavriyah hari bishtama, if I do it midati, if I do it willingly. But over here, shalom midati, that already would make a chilul, because it was not my da'at. Good, that's the first answer over here. And especially if I'm getting upset. Iname,
it's passive.
It's passive, exactly. Iname, which mavriyah hari, I'm going to go out and do it actively. Over here, what? So I got to come into my fence, you feel an animal lying on my thing. That's not considered my obligation. Iname, another interpretation. Very good. In a regular case of Mavriya Hari, I'm doing it, but I'm not losing anything. I'm sitting in the park, all of a sudden I see an animal running after somebody else's field. So I'm a good volunteer. So you know what? I want to protect my friend's property. I start chasing it. I shoot it. I run. The guy says, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Do I owe you anything? No, it didn't cost me anything. You know, I had that. It didn't cost me any out of pocket. Okay? Good. That's Mavriya Hari. But I don't have an obligation to be Mavriya Hari at a cost. Which means in this case over here, the guy comes and says, oh, I appreciate it. You did me a big favor. Thanks for that field that you had over there. It's a good thing you planted those fruit over there. Your fruit saved my animal from getting smashed over there. Chazak baruch. The guy says, yeah, but bottom line, now I'm out a whole, furrow, whole area of fruit over there. No, but I appreciate you being Mavriya Hari. Oh, Mavriya Hari, that's when I don't lose money. But Mavriya Hari, when I lose money, then already you have to pay. So therefore the cases are not analogous. So comes the Gemara and says, good. Hechi nafal. Well, now we're getting into the details of the case. So the animal fell off the roof and landed in the guy's field. It's an onus. That's clear. The she'ela is, how did he fall? Oh, let's see. Rav Kana amar, shuhreka bimime ragleha. Okay. It slipped on its urine. Okay. It could have gave many cases. That's the case that it chose. And she says, you couldn't anticipate such a an onus over there. That's something that's considered the onus. No, another case is they're walking in a shoot rabim, and there's a band of animals walking, and all of a sudden one animal pushed the other animal and it fell off and it landed into the guy's field. Also an onus. Now, you think that these two answers are agreeing with each other, but they're really not. They're different answers. Look at what Rashi says. If you want to say that when one animal pushes the other, that's considered an onus, all the more so when it slips on its meraglayim. But in the case of the animal, one animal pushing the other animal off into the field, that shita will hold, that's a posheya. And if you're a posheya, then you already have to pay the actual price of the damages. Why is that considered a posheya? Listen, you bring in your animals into the shuta rabim. So instead of trying to squeeze two animals together down the street, you should have brought them in single file. By causing them to go side by side, you crowded them, therefore you caused an animal to push his friend over the side. So you're negligent. Meraglayim, what do you expect? That's a far-fetched thing. Meraglayim, he slipped on it. That already you couldn't anticipate. But this already, you could have anticipated. The way you formulated your line could have protected this animal from falling in. Comes again when on continues. Oh, Amar Rav Kana. Lo shanu ela beota aruga. Aval, me'aruga la'aruga, meshalemet mashezika. What does that mean? The animal fell into the field. It landed on an aruga. Okay? So this aruga, this row of fruit and things like that, it ate this row where it landed. Ligabe that we say, meshalemet mashenehinit. Okay? Your onus was not intentional. So therefore, we're not throwing the book at you that you have to pay actual damages. We make a calculation where it's the advantage of the mazik. Listen, your animal would have had to eat in any way. Correct? So you would have fed it cheaper food. So it ate over here, expensive fruit over there. So I'll pay you the difference. Mashin ahinit. What I benefited by eating a higher class food. Good. But that's only in the furrow where he landed. But let's say the animal now moves to the next furrow and starts eating somewhere else, not where it fell. Oh, so now already Rav Kana says, enough, which is your onus is up to where it fell. But then already take the animal out, go do it. Now someone starts walking to other parts of the field and starts eating. What, you want us to let him eat the guy's whole field because he fell in the orange, he can eat the whole guy's field and pay much and eat? No, Adkan, only on the Aruga that he fell. So comes the Gemara and says, look at Rashi. Lo shanu de mashineni tu de mishanemet ve lo mashizika ela shachla miyad beota aruga shenafla sham. The kibbutz de anusai benefila. Since the nefila was be honest, anusai na mevachilata. The kibbutz de hasha le tivuat uta lo mukma nafsha. It couldn't control itself. What do you expect? It's an animal. It landed in the field by mistake. It slipped, like we said. Or it got pushed. Whatever shita you're taking. Now it's lying on wheat. What are you, can you expect the animal not to eat? Can you expect an animal to control itself? It's going to eat. Okay, so we understand that. You know what? You don't have to pay the full value. Pay much money. But now the animal starts walking to other parts of the field, starts eating. Okay, now you have to pay aval. Comes Rabbi Yohanan, says no. Rabbi Yohanan, amar afilu me'aruga la'aruga ve'afilu kol ayom kulo. Yohanan says, Aruga la Aruga, the whole entire day, doesn't matter. Ad shetitze, until the animal goes out, till the animal leaves, v'tazor leda'at, and comes back, leda'at of the owner, the da'at of the owner of the animal, which means, until that point, you're always going to pay mashinenit. Until the animal leaves. It sounds like the Gemara is saying, leaves me da'at ba'alim. The owner knows that it left out, that left the field. And then the owner knows that it went back in. Or the second time around, then already you're going to pay mashe zika. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, lo tema'at tse le'da'at v'tazo le'da'at. Don't think that Rabbi Yohanan meant that you need da'at ba'alim on the way out and on the way back in. Meaning, it sounds like what he's saying, le'da'at. What does le'da'at mean? The owner all of a sudden says, hey, where's my animal? He looks, he's missing an animal. Oh, he finds out, Shemai Stael, must have fell into somebody else's field. Oh, he goes to the guy, I'm sorry, forgive me, whatever that. Please, let me take my animal out. Okay, and now what? Then he has leda'at, and he will, then it happens, it fell again into the field. Oh, the second time already, then the Yohanan is going to say, you have to pay mashizika. So the Gemara, don't think that's true. On the second time around, you don't need da'at. When it falls in. Even without his da'at, if it falls in the second time, you're posheya. Why? So again, of course you know, exactly. So comes the Gemara and says, Amara Papa, lo temachit se le da'at, v'tazor le da'at of the ba'alim. Ela kebanchi yasta le da'at. Once the owner knows that it left, afal pisha aza shelo le da'at, he's a posheya. You know why? My ta'ama, da'amar le, kevan di yalfa. Since the animal learnt, which means he's accustomed, he knows already, he knows his food over there in that field over there. He knows already that the area called Emma de Mishtamta, Lehatam Rehata. The animal knows already he has free lunch over there. So therefore, wherever the animal's going to run, he's going to go to that field again. What do you mean? Is it with you? Just eats once? He's going to go back. Therefore, you got to be extra careful. Therefore, it's not enough for you to just do a simple shemirah now on this. You have to be very extra careful. First time you're in onus. Okay, good. Once already, the second time, now already, even if shalom edato, you're guilty. Because the animal is prone. Once the animal is prone, so therefore there's a big responsibility on the be'alim to shomer his animal. Now she says, afal gav, chahaza shalom edat. You can't get with that. I watch my animal. Hey, the animal knows what it's doing now. Therefore, you needed a shemira me'ule. Therefore, you're going to be hayamashe. His zika comes. The Gemara and continues. Gemara says, second wide line. Yarda kedarka vezika meshlamet mashe zika. Oh, if the animal went down kedarka, then already you pay full price. We throw the book at him. Mashe zika. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ir Rabbi Yirmiya yadak kedarka vezika bimeleda mahu." Now what's the case? The animal was pregnant. Okay, what happened? Went down into the field, but it on purpose. Hezika ma'ir kedarka poshaya. But what happened? in its damaging, it didn't happen via pishia. The birth juices from the birth came out of the body, and that's what caused the damage.
The water broke,
something like that, or the baby came out and there was all the embryonic juices and fluids, I should call them. So the damage really was onus. He went down bifshia, but he didn't damage in the normal way of bifshia. Who would have anticipated? All of a sudden the animal gave birth in the guy's field. And now the guy's claiming, the owner of the field, well, you got all these embryonic fluids on my field. I said, I'm supposed to anticipate that my animal's going to give birth in your... Bishtama, you want to tell me it ate? Okay, you're right, I'm sorry, I was pushed. Hey, I shouldn't have let my animal go. But you're telling me the way you damaged was via a outrageous way. So the she'ela is, back to our subject that we've discussed many times, Tehilato b'fshi'a v'sofo b'onis. How do you look at that? Which means, you're right, I started off as a posheya, but at the end my damage was done in a honest way. So do you get him on that? So the Gemara is going to start talking. The Gemara says, now, alibadim an damar tehilato b'fshi'a v'sofo b'onis chayav lo tiv'ilach. No question. According to the Shita that says, you start off as a posheya, but at the end the damage was done in an honest way, no question, you chayav. I'm asking you according to the opinion that generally says is patur. Maybe this case is different. Why? And therefore he'll be patur, because bottom line the damage was done beonis in the birthing fluids, which you can't anticipate. Or do I say here, you should have anticipated it. The kevan de kahaze de kerebala le mela de fele le natura ul astambure begava. You should have protected the animal and been careful. Which is, there's the other side to say, when the owner of the animal says, well, I'm sorry, I didn't anticipate that. How did you anticipate it? Exactly. The animal's pregnant. You know it's going to give birth eventually. So therefore, you can't tell me. It's like she just got pregnant in 2 seconds and you knew she was pregnant. So therefore, you're teilato b'fshi'a, b'sofo b'fshi'a. You should have expected it. So therefore, you're hayav. Gemara has two sides. That's Gemara says, tiku. Gemara leaves it in a tiku for the Yahu Nabi. Okay, now if you remember the Mishnah gave us a formula how to calculate mashe zika. Simply, what do you need a formula for? I damaged $100 worth of fruit. Pay $100 worth of fruit. That's mashe zika. But the Mishnah said, no. It seems we have pisukim that we don't make the mazik, the baal behema, pay full high price. What we do is we evaluate the damage over a larger amount of field. For example, if I'm going to look at the fruit themselves, it's $100 worth of fruit. But if I assess the damage as if I was selling a larger parcel of land, and a person would pay, let's say, whatever the price is, and now that this furrow is damaged, so it depreciates. But it doesn't depreciate that much since I'm buying a whole field, so there the damage is a less payment. So the Mishnah said the calculation is done al yedei sadeh aher, on a larger field, as opposed to retail. It's like a wholesale price where the mazik benefits. Now it diluted it. The question is, where do you know that from? So the Gemara asked that question. Minah hanemileh. You need a biblical source for that. Minah hanemileh is looking for a pasuk in the Torah. Amar Rav Matan d'Amar Kerau bi'er b'sdeh aher. That's too much shin. Bi'ayir is shin. The animal goes to somebody else's field. So Gemara says, Melamed sheshamin al gabe sadeh aher. Oh. Bisdeh aher doesn't only mean, literally, it went into somebody else's field. Ubi'ayir, when it damages an east, let's say, damages like that, the calculation of payment is bisdeh aher. You calculate it al yedeh a shuma, a evaluation of another field. Not only the furrow, but a furrow, had it been in a larger field. So we're learning from the word sneh, that's the way the payment is calculated, yeah? Gemara says, what are you talking about? Remember in the first Perek, when we were learning the rules of each Mazik, we know the rules of Shin. Shin is only Hayav, Bershut, and Izak. It's only in the private property, not in the Shut Harabim. Correct? And how do you know that from? Because it's Zubi Aher, Bisde Aher. So, Stay Aher, I'm sorry, is used already to teach me the location of Shin, not the payment, how you pay, how the Mazik pays. Because he cleared two things. If you wanted to tell it to me like that, it should be yaqid. Iname sade acher. It didn't have to say bisade acher. My bisade acher. So shamin al gabe sade acher. So Gemara's now playing with words. The extra bit. Could have said chavero. It said acher. So I could have two things. Gemara's wait. Ve'ema kudel achi udaata. Okay, very good. You know what? Maybe I go the other way now. Maybe it's not teaching me two things. Maybe the real derasha of Rabbi Eid B'Sta'afayr is teaching me how to formulate the payment. How do I know the Shut Rabim? Which is the Gemara's conceding that, you know what? It's such a good derasha that maybe Rabbi Eid B'Sta'afayr, that's all it's telling me. That what, when the Mazik pays, he pays Al-Gad Sadeh'afayr, meaning with a larger valuation. Good. But now I want to know, if that's what it's teaching me exclusively, how do I know the Shut Rabim? It's patur. Gemara says, "Im ken lichteve rachmana gabet tashlumin." Oh, if you look at the construction of the pasuk says, "Ubi'er b'sde acher." The animal went and ate in somebody else's field, and then it says, "Metav sadeu u'metav karmo yeshalem." If the pasuk was specifically teaching me how the mazik pays, shouldn't have it said like this? Ubi'er basadeh, correct? Metav sadeh umetav karmo yeshalem b'sadeh. Tell it to me by the payment. You didn't tell it to me by the payment. You told me stacher by the damage. So therefore, don't come and you want to claim to me, oh, maybe it's only coming to tell you about the payment. If that was the case, it would have said Sde'acher by the part of the pasuk that's talking about payment. And the Gemara speaks it out. Metav sadeh metav karmo yeshalem b'sde'acher. Should have put the Sde'acher by the payment of the mazik. Why did it write it by the damaging? So we learn both things. Number one, location. And number two, how to calculate it. Gemara continues. So we learned in our Mishnah that the calculation that we make, if let's say an animal by mistake fell into somebody else's field and damaged, so the mazik doesn't have to pay the actual price of the damaging. He pays according to a larger field. We learned that just now in the Gemara, it says, "Ubi'ir b'sde'acher," that the shuma, the evaluation is over a larger field, which is a cheaper price, instead of the mazik having to pay for the actual damages themselves. So the Gemara now is going to go through different calculations, different opinions, how to make this cheshbon. So the Gemara starts, "Hechi shayminan." How do you calculate? Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina, "Se'a b'shishim se'in." So the calculation is, you calculate one se'ah, of let's say that got damaged. For every se'ah that got damaged, you calculate it over 60 se'ah. Now what would that do for us? So look at the top Rashi. Se'ah b'shishim se'in. Hay bet se'ah diktani b'matnitin, de b'shvil aruga achat shamim bet se'ah. That which we said in the Mishnah, that if let's say the damage was one aruga, one row, correct? So it says, Yishamin a bet se'ah, lav bet se'ah ba'an pen nafsha shayminan. You don't calculate a bet se'ah alone, because if you're going to look at a bet se'ah, for example, let's say bet se'ah has a certain amount of, certain size of a field. So if you're going to calculate how much does a bet se'ah depreciate if one row got damaged, de machreshin le mazik, that'll cause a very big loss to the mazik. Why? Nefi shebet se'ah nimkeret biyoker. Betze'ah, based on the size of the field, is an expensive field. Why? Nefishim wa'atu. It's a very rare commodity based on the size. Ve'enu matzui l'makir. There's not so many of those on the market. Ve'ani she'en yado maseget l'deme karka gedola. A poor man that can't afford a big field, kone oto biyoter medamav. He'll pay more for that price because it's a smaller field, so it's a commodity. People would want to buy it. The rich guy is not going to buy it, but the poor guy likes to buy it. He's going to overpay a little because you know that's something. So therefore, vekarachat arugash shel kavu kabayim hashiv lo lefi damav. If there's going to be a bald spot in that field, so then already it's going to depreciate significantly, and therefore. You don't calculate, when the Mishnah says Shamin Betze'ah, doesn't mean a Betze'ah that lost one row, because that'll be expensive. So what's the calculation? So it says, Ela Shamin Shishim Se'im, Kama Shavim. You look at 60 Se'ah, oh that's a tremendous field. Veroin Kama Damim Magi'im Le Betze'ah. What you first do is, in a 60 se'ah field, which is a lot, you calculate how much is the 60 se'ah parcel worth. Once you get the 60 se'ah parcel, then you calculate what 1/60th of it is. So now you're getting a fair price of a se'ah. Once you get a fair price of the se'ah, then you work on depreciation if a se'ah went down because of this row got eaten. You see, first we need to get the right price for the se'ah. So we don't judge it alone. How much does a se'ah get sold for? Se'ah gets sold for expensive. So therefore we take 60 se'im. How much would a guy pay for 60 se'im? He would pay whatever the price is. Now 1/60th of that would be the price of a se'ah. Once we have that price of a se'ah, now we already calculate that price depreciating because of a arugah that had eaten. V'chozim v'shemim kama nifchatu damav b'shul karachat arugah zu. Very good. Now, v'im tomala, she says. Lama uskar bet se'ah. Which means, she'ima yashamin metechila arugah b'shishim se'ah. Kama yu yafe v'kama en yafin. Lo hayam meshalem klum. Which means, why didn't you need a bet se'ah at all? Why didn't you just say, evaluate on 60? How much does 60 se'ah depreciate if one row is eaten? So that she says, it'd be nothing. Because it's so big and such an insignificant amount that got eaten, the price won't go down at all. And therefore the mazik is not going to have to pay anything. So therefore you need to do two calculations, basically. You need to make the 60 se'ah to calculate what the 1 se'ah is worth. Then once you get the 1 se'ah, you calculate the depreciation of the 1 se'ah when the arugah was eaten. Right? That's the fairest way to calculate for the mazik. Rabbi Yanai Amar, Rabbi Yanai comes along and says, Tarkav b'shishim tarkabim. Tarkav is a half a se'ah, and shishim tarkabim is 30 se'ah. So instead of 1 se'ah in 60, he says half a se'ah in 30. Now there's a difference in the calculation that she explains. Tarkav b'shishim tarkabim, sheloshim se'im. 30 se'ah, shamin, velo shishim. Why? Di'im ken, mafsedet lelenizak. He says, it's too much. Too much advantage to the mazik, and you're going to hurt the nizak. Why? She'en konim mesuim l'shishim se'im. There's not too many buyers for shishim se'ah. Lefi shemirubim hem le'adam benoni. It's too much for a regular guy. U'mu'atim le'mishpua melechasim. It's like a 60 se'ah lot. There's not too many customers for, right? The rich guy wants to buy more, and the mediocre guy, he can't afford it. So therefore, if you're going to judge legabe 60, so the price is going to be lower. So you're going to hurt the nizak. Masheke 30, there's a customer for, and you'll get a better price. And therefore, that's the way he calculates it. The third sheet holds Oskia Amar Kelach b'shishim kelachim. Which means you just go according to what it ate, 60 times more that. If it ate one kelach, one stalk, so you calculate that one stalk in 60 stalks. So therefore, in 60 stalks, right, how much would you discount that if one stalk was missing? Then that's what you pay the difference. So therefore, we have one in 60, one in 30, and then 60 times the item that was eaten. That's basically Hezkiah's opinion. So those are the three she taught that you have to keep in mind. So comes the Gemara and says, Metibe. Now we have a question. Achla, kav, or kabayim? And ate a kav worth of goods, or kabayim, or two kavs, and omrim, teshalem demehem. You don't say to pay the actual price. Ela ru'im ota, ki ilui aruga ketana, umisha'arim ota. You look at it like a small roe that it ate, and you calculate it, misha'arim ota. You calculate it according to what it is. Now, the Braita over here doesn't say anything about 60 se'ah, 30 se'ah. So the thing was, my love, bifne atzma. It's much like you calculate it according to what it is. Based on the field that was damaged, how much it depreciated based on this the lack of one row. Now that goes against what we just said. So the Gemara says, lo, bishishim. Now, when it says, misha'arim ota, it didn't tell you the main word, but it means bishishim. It means in the calculation that was mentioned above, which means each one accordingly. Either 60 se'ah, or 60 tarkavs, which is 30 se'ah, or 60 times the item like haskiyah. So the braita can be going like either opinion, it just didn't tell us that main word. Tanu rabbanan, en shamin kav, mepene shemashpicho, velo betkur mepene shepogmo. Oh, we got a braita. Braita needs to be defined. Braita says, we don't judge the kav. It ate a kav, it sounds like it's saying. We don't calculate a kav. Why? Mepene shemashpicho. Because it's going to be too expensive for the mazik to pay. Mashpicho, you're elevating the price. Velo betkur. No. Betkur, if to sound like what it means, and you don't make a calculation over a larger field of a betkur, because then it's going to be too cheap. Now the Gemara is going to explain it right away. Maika Amar, what does this braita mean? Amar papachi kamar, en shamin, kav b'shishim kabim. Oh, when the braita began, en shamin kav, it meant you don't judge a kav in 60 kav, mipeneh shemashbiach mazik. Because in that case over there, it's going to cause the mazik, is going to have an advantage. Why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, en shamin kav b'shishim kabim, im achla kav, if you ate one kav, en shamin b'shishim kabim, you know why? B'shemashbiach mazik, b'shishim kabim en nahem mecher. People don't buy 60 calves. Mepeneh shemirubin hen la'ani, umu'atim lebenoni. Right? Too expensive for the poor guy, too much for the poor guy, too little for the mediocre guy. V'koshe ken la'ashir. And therefore, what's going to happen? So there's no customers. Ve'od she'en karachat kav nikir b'shishim kabim. And it's not so noticeable. And therefore, it's cheap. And therefore, it's cheap, so therefore, who's going to get the benefit? It's an odd lot, exactly. And then who's going to get the benefit? The mazik. Too much benefit to the mazik. So when the brayta says, ench, I mean, kav, meaning we're not going to judge a kav in 60 kav, because again, since it's hard to sell, the price is going to be low, and the depreciation is not that much, therefore it's too much advantage to the mazik. Got the first line? En shamin kav. What does that mean? En shamin kav b'shishim. Continue. Velo kur b'shishim korim. Oh, and when it says velo bet kur, it means, and if it ate a kur, you don't calculate a kur based on 60 kur. Why? Mepnei shepogem mazik. Because in that case over there, you're going to hurt the mazik. Why? That she says, achla kur tevua en shamin ota b'shishim korim. Why? If a guy has money, and he's interested in buying a big plot of field, he'll pay a lot, because that's a nice size for him. And therefore, what's going to end up happening? Since he pays a lot, the mazik now is going to become at a disadvantage. Which means, a karachat of a kur, a bald spot of a kur in a field, is a great depreciation. And therefore, it's going to cause the mazik to have to pay more. So therefore, basically what the Braita is saying, you don't calculate a kav in 60, because that'll be too advantageous to the mazik. And you don't calculate a kud, which is the biggest shiur, in 60, because that'll be too advantageous to the nizak. And that's what we're thinking, it says. Gemara says cannot be saying that. You know why? Because look at the Braita. Matkif laravuna bar manoah. Hai velo bet kud velo kud mev'ele. Exactly. The language of the Braita was like this. En shamin kav. What does that mean? It ate a kav, so you don't judge the kav over 60. What's the next line of the Braita? Velo bet kud. Bet kud is the wrong word. It should say velo kud. The Braita is giving me what the damage was. You don't judge a kav, meaning you don't judge a kav with 60. Then it says velo bet kud. Bet kud is the size of the field. If you're right, the way you explained the Braita, just say velo kud, meaning velo kud on a 60 calculation. Why did the Braita say then velo bet kud, which is the size of the field? So therefore, must be you're not learning correctly. So the Gemara says, Ela, Amar Avuna Bar Manoch, Mashemed Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika, Hachi Ketane, En Shamin Kav Bifnei Atzmo, Bifnei Shemashbiach Nizak. That's good. You're not going to judge the kav itself, because that's retail. That's you're paying for the fruits themselves. That's too much, because then the nizak is going to have an advantage. Velo kav bebet kur, and not a kav in a bet kur, because a bet kur is very big. A kav depreciation a bet kur is nothing, and therefore mepinesh shepogem nizak, and therefore the nizak is not going to get a fair price. So how do you learn the Braita again? Let's learn the Braita. En shamin bekav. What does that mean? You don't pay for the kav alone, because that's too much. You're going to make the mazik pay too much money. Right? Mipneh, what's the language? Yeah. Mipneh shemashbiach nizak. Because the nizak is going to pay too much. I mean, get too much. And you don't judge a kav over a bet kur, because then already there's no depreciation, basically. And therefore, the nizak is not going to get enough. So what do? Ela b'shishim. Ela, go back to the shishim rule, according to each opinion. Either 60 se'ah, or 60 tarkav, which is 30 se'ah, or 60 times the item that was eaten. Because so that's basically the three opinions that you have to take out of the sugya. 60 se'ah, 30 se'ah, 60 times the item that was eaten. Those are the three shitot, there's no other shitot like that. Story. Ahu Gabra was a guy. The Katz Kashba Mehabre. What did he do? Katz Kashba. He cut his friend's palm tree. Atalika made the Nishgaluta. So he went to the Nishgalut, the exilarch over there in Babel, to get a ruling. Amale Lididi Hazili Utlata Talta Bekina Havu Kaime. I saw, he said, the Resh Giluta says, that there were three palm trees next to each other. In that patch where he chopped down one of your palm trees, I noticed there were three palm trees there. Ve'avu shavu me'azuzeh. And I know altogether the three palm trees are worth 100 zuz. So the Resh Galut told them, zil havle taltin utlata ve'tilta. Give him 33 and a third. So the Resh Galut was really making the mazik pay for actual damages. He didn't make the calculation over a larger field. So the rabbi said, or the fellow says, Amar gabe Resh Giluta didain dinah deparsa'a lamali. What do I need to go to the Resh Galut that's giving me a Persian rule? You mean you're judging me according to Persian law? That's not our law. That you're making me pay for the actual damages. The Torah says that the Masik gets a little advantage over here. Atal kamed Rav Nachman. Amar le b'shishim. Came to Rav Nachman, he told him, you're right, b'shishim. Calculate if this palm tree was over 60 times its amount, over 60 palm trees, let's say, according to the last opinion. Therefore, there'd be a cheaper price. Comes again, what on says. Amar le Rava. So Rava comes and says, wait. Even Rav Nachman I don't agree with. Why? Im amru b'niskem amono Yomru b'nizkei gufo? When did we make this advantage that we do it over 60? That's when the guy's animal did the damage. But when the guy himself goes and chops out somebody's palm tree, where's your source? Your source was from the Torah. It said, by shin, ubi'er b'zdei aher. That when you have a shin that did the animal aid, so you do it over another larger field. But that's by animal. But when the guy himself did it, throw the book at him. Let him pay for the actual damages. That's Rava's claim over here. So comes again what Ran says, Amar le abayel Rava, b'nizke gufo maidatech. What's your opinion? By nizke gufo. Netanya, is it based on this braita? Are you coming against me based on this braita? What does the braita say? Netanya, hamafkir karmo shel chavero semadar. What are you doing over there? That she says, mafkir means you are shihet, you destroyed. You destroyed your friend's field, semadar. What is semadar? When the grapes are still budding, right? It didn't come out yet. Semadar, it's called. Ro'in oto kama ita yafe kodem lachen, vekama hi yafa lachar mekin. Right, this is clearly. You calculate how much was it worth before, and how much was it worth now, which is mashma. You're paying for the actual damages. So he says, is that what you're coming after me against? Because we have a bright that says when you actually damage your friend's field, you just calculate the depreciation straight, the ilu b'shishim lo ketani, and it doesn't say shishim. So you saw this brighta, she says, it doesn't say shishim, so therefore you have to pay actual damages. He says, excuse me, atu gabe b'mto name milo tanya ki ay gavna. By the way, by when an animal damages also, it says the same words, and it doesn't say the word shishim. And we explained it that it means shishim. So just like you're going to read into the following braita shishim, read into the braita by Adam HaMazik, shishim. Netanya, katma neti'a. What happened over here? A behema, an animal came, and katane a tree. Rabbi Yosef Omer, gozre gezerot shibiru shalayim omrim, the rabbis of Jerusalem, right? Those are the rabbis that used to be in charge of making the penalties. Who has to pay what? That she even tells us, Konseke Nasot Admon Hanan ben Avshalom. Tell us their names. Admon and Hanan ben Avshalom. Those were the rabbis that were in charge of the penalties in Jerusalem. Somebody would damage. So it says, what did they say? Niti'abat shenata. They made a rule. If the tree is 1 year old, like a sapling, shtei kesef, you pay 2 coins. Bat shtei shanim, 2 years old, 4 kesef. Okay. Achla haziz, what's a haziz? That she says shachat. Shachat is like little stubble. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Gilili Omer, nidon b'meshuyar shebo. What does that mean? Nidon b'meshuyar shebo. That she ro'in etan notar. According to this calculation, it ate the stubble, right? So you don't pay the damage exactly what it ate. You calculate what the field is going to grow at the final stage of before the harvest, based on what the rest of the field is going to grow, and what this over here was lost, and you calculate it at not the present time, at the time of the kitzir, at the time of the cutting, when the field now reaches its full capacity, so how much damage did this cause it in, over such a field? It seems like it's a higher payment. In any event, Nachamim omrim, ro'im ota kama ita yafa v'kama hi yafa. Now, can I say straight? How much is the karka worth before he cut it? And how much is now, in the present, and how much is the karka worth? Now, so the first rabbi to be Yosef looks at future, and according to Achimi, you look at it now. Achlas madar, continue, let's say it ate grapes. Again, the beginning of their budding, right? Call that, Miss Madar. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, ro'in otan ki'ilu hen anavim omdot li batzer. Rabbi Yoshua says, you look at it as if they're grapes that are about to be picked. So you look at them in their, as if they were big. How much grapes would cost in such a way? No, go slow. That's what he says over here.
There's a chance it wouldn't survive.
Which means if they reach full ripening, If they reach full ripening, how much would they cost over there? V'achamim omrim. Achamim say, ru'in kama ita yafa v'kama hi yafa. Same thing. Achamim say, no, what's the damage right now? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer, mishum Rabbi Shimon, b'me devarim amurim, this is a long braita. Bizman she'achda alula be'gifarim v'yichure te'inim. When do we say over here that you judge it according to the field depreciation? That's only when it ate lula be'gifanim. But what are you going to call that? That's something with the grapes? Lula be'gifanim shoots. Correct. Grape shoots. The yichure te'inim. And that's figs. But the twigs of the figs. Acha aval achla pagim uboser. That's already the grapes came out. They partially ripened grapes. Ro'in otan ki'ilu anavim omdot libaser. You judge it according to, let's say, as if they're fully ripe, and how much did they cost? Without getting into all the shittot, the Gemara is going to go into explain all the shittot. We need something from this braita. What do we need from this braita right now? Katani mihat. Partial quotation from the braita. V'achamim omrim ro'in otan. Kama hayta yafa v'kama hi yafa v'lo ketani b'shishim, which means Abaye is going back to Rabbah. Rabbah came along and said, what are you talking about? That was Adam, a guy cut out a palm tree, there's no shishim rule over there, that you pay according to the damages. So Abaye says, Mehira, why are you saying that? Because you found a braita that says when a guy damages he pays, and it didn't say the word shishim, meaning according to the 60 se'ah. By Behemah also says the same language. It says, if a Behemah ate grapes, or whatever it may be, what do the rabbis say? You calculate how much it was worth, and how much it depreciated. And it doesn't say the word, shishim, elawat, you got to read it in. So just like you're reading it in, to the Braita by Behemah, you agree to me by Behemah that it's shishim. So just like it doesn't say the word shishim in the Braita by Behemah, and you read it in, so read it into the Braita by Adam as well. Ela mai itlach lememar b'shishim. What are you going to say? In the braita by the behemah, it means a depreciation based on a larger quantity of shishim. Hachen amne b'shishim. Shishim also. So that was Abaye's contention against Allah. There's no difference between Adam and behemah. Hamazik is always over a larger field. Good. Baruch Adonai Olam.